Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Tomorrow Never Dies.
I watched the second half of Tomorrow Never Dies.
And this
is the other half. Watch till you can't.
I don't have anything fun to say about this movie.
You didn't like it?
No, it was all right.
Michelle Yeoh's in it.
Michelle Yeoh's in it.
She's cool. Rocks in this.
Yeah?
She's
in my half
this.
A little bit, but we don't know who she is fully.
She's mostly in my half of the movie, and I'm like, God damn. Like, it's
crazy seeing her. Did she win an Oscar?
Yes.
I think she did, right?
I think she won an Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. It's crazy. Oscar winner just running around in that Bond movie. Get her
out of here. Well, this predates it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. She did a lot of fucking work before she...
I watched a whole video about her. Like, she started out working with Jackie Chan, and then Jackie didn't think too highly of her, and then she did all of her own stunts, and then Jackie's okay, maybe some women are cool. Jackie Chan is notoriously a massive misogynist bad guy.
Really? I didn't know that.
Big time. So yeah, apparently the only woman that he respects, including his wife, apparently, is Michelle Yeoh.
That's a little
which
kind of sucks.
She rocks though. She's
cool.
Kicks ass.
She rocks in this. M is in this again. You know, it's kind of old crew back again.
J is in this.
Ricky J. Yeah,
the famous Ricky J is in this movie.
I don't know who Ricky J is.
I know you don't know who Ricky J is.
Hold this over my head.
Yeah, I know.
Ethan
Ricky J
doesn't
is
know
a
movie person.
Ricky J is a was a famous. A card and magician artist back in the day.
Okay.
He was in Boogie Nights. He narrated Magnolia, and in this he plays Gupta.
Gupta. Yeah. Oh yeah, okay.
He's
the big
guy with the beard.
I thought you were gonna be more about
the villain.
The villain.
Yeah, he's
like
from Brazil.
He's from Brazil. I saw that.
Jonathan
Pryce.
Like,
wow, yeah.
He rocks. Elliot. What's his name? Elliot Cramp. The fuck is
Carver.
This? Carver. Elliot Carver. Yeah, he rocks. I love Jonathan. Anything you put him in, he's gonna have a fucking blast. You know, he's enjoying himself. He's wearing a bad wig. He's great in this.
Yeah, he's wearing a bad wig. Pretty fun though.
He's having a blast in this movie, and I love him. I love him.
I think what we're arriving now, though, is like now we're gonna get kind of like weirder, more modern biting.
Oh yeah,
movies.
big biting satire in this. Also, flip phones.
This movie loves fucking technology.
Oh, I know.
Ooh, boy, it's all about. It feels a little too. You know, maybe it's just the technology world we're living in, where technolarchy is kind of a lot. That this hits a little too close to home in some ways.
I like this movie, by the way.
Yeah?
I thought this movie rocked.
I did have a lot of fun watching
it. I liked Michelle Yeoh. I liked Jonathan Pryce.
I thought, because I mean, I've heard that they all go downhill from GoldenEye. I was like, this is pretty fun
this
still.
This is pretty consistent,
I'm
honestly.
I'm having a good time.
Yeah, I had a great time in this. Yeah, it was great. It's also cool seeing like a Bond girl who could like, why do we keep calling them Bond girls? A Bond woman.
Oh my God.
Who can hold her own and like kick ass and like, you know, is not like, Bond is not superior to her in every single conceivable way. Like they're pretty much equals here.
Yeah,
you know?
That's accurate. Actually, I think this is the first time it's like someone who's literally a spy.
I
guess you could say from Russia with Love. She had a spy, but it was like a reluctant spy.
No,
that was
this
weird.
Is
the power dynamic was strange.
This is also the other one that works really well too, because like in the last one, right? He's on a beach with Natalia. What happened to her? Where is she?
Huh? She's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Another one of his ladies, you know.
But this Michelle Yeoh, what's her name? Lynn? She has a job to do,
Waylon.
She has a job to do.
Do you think her name Waylon is referencing like Waylon Industries?
Yeah. I don't think so. Maybe.
Think so?
I don't know, maybe. But she's got a job. She can't be held down by fucking 007. She's just getting her rocks off like him, man.
Yeah, it's nice.
And that's what I love. That's what I love about this movie. That's what I love about her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering why you're like, if I was curious what you think about this movie.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying this one so far. I was actually like enjoying watching my half of the movie, which shocked me.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to.
I didn't.
Most of it takes place around water.
It's a lot of water.
There's a lot of water.
A lot of water in this movie.
I'm curious to see how that opening is, though. I'm not going to play it during the podcast like you did last time, but I feel like you might need to. Oh, really?
It's very interesting. Anyway, so Bond walks in, shoots you, you know, mysterious theme, blah, blah, blah. You know what we're talking about.
Sure.
So then we see a little camera pop up, and it's looking at this, like, bunch of people, these armed people. It literally says a terrorist arms bazaar on the Russian border.
Yeah, bizarre arms.
Yeah, bizarre arms. They're like Goro from Mortal Kombat. The camera's recording everything. Someone says, oh, they're watching on the screen, M is, along with some other people. And some people are like, oh, it's a supermarket for terrorism. And I'm just like, okay. M is looking at everything. And they're like, oh, that's Mr. Gupta. He basically invented techno-terrorism. And now we see, okay.
Okay.
So here we go. A little about myself. So now we see a general.
Uh-huh.
General of the UK.
Yes.
He's played by Jeffrey Palmer. Do you know who Jeffrey Palmer is?
The name rings a bell.
Well, he used to co-star on a show with Judi Dench called As Time Goes By on the UK.
And you recognized him because you watched this show.
I watched so much of that fucking show.
Whoa!
I watched so much of that. And so this is a nod to the fact that they were together, because during the time of this filming, they were also still, that show was still going on.
Whoa.
Because I think it was from 95 to 2005.
This is crazy.
Like,
you watch this, which obviously the show sounds like it predates her being a part of this 007 series. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, man. Don't fuck with me in my 90s and 80s sitcoms from Britain, man.
This is genuinely
Keeping
shocking.
Up Appearances, Blackadder.
Blackadder. We've all watched Blackadder.
Blackadder's very famous. Are you being served?
I don't know that one. What about
Only Fools and Horses?
What about Fawlty Towers?
Fawlty Towers, another one classic. I watched. Watched that one quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think Fawlty Towers and Blackadder kind of fall in the same, like,
they're
sketch.
The big ones.
They're kind of like sketchy too, right?
Yeah, they're very funny. They're very goofy. Yeah. They're not really like dramas like the other ones are.
Yeah, this one is actually, well, the story behind it is two people get together after 40 years of not, like, they're ex-lovers. They do 40 years of life, and then they come back together, which is very sweet. I remember liking that show a lot. Even though,
how many episodes was it?
It went for a while. I don't know how many episodes, but it definitely lasted
British
multiple
television
years.
Is,
like
yeah.
8 years. Yeah, so it could have been like 3 episodes.
Yeah, exactly. You picked up what I was putting down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds really cool, though.
But I was wild to see him. I'm like, oh, shit, that fucking guy.
This is the sweetest thing.
Well, it's funny that this is always I associate Judi Dench with is that movie or that TV show.
I love this,
else.
Too, because, like, again, this is the thing where, like, neither of us are coming to these 007 movies with a particular level of, like, pomp and to the point where, like, you see Judi Dench and you're like, ah, yes, I remember her from what was the name of the show?
As time goes by.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
But now instead of lovers, they're at each other's fucking throats. I'm sure you see him in your half a little bit too.
I don't know. What's his name again? Arnold Palmer?
Jeffrey Palmer. He's just the general of the UK. He's like the army general. I'm sure you see him.
Maybe.
He's probably just like, ma'am, I don't approve of your tactics. Anyway.
Oh, he's got the biggest cheeks in the world.
He's got big cheeks. He looks like a sad jowls. Basset. He looks like a sad basset hound.
He does. Oh, my lordy.
Anyway. Yeah, he literally looks like that. Like,
yeah,
that's the sound.
Bombad. I just saw a photo of him with, like, the sideburns that grow into a mustache, and I'm like, wow, that is a look, and he's the only man to pull it off because of his face.
I was going
to
say, I actually never saw that picture before, but I could actually see it.
He died in 2020.
Yeah.
November 2020.
Judi Dench is like 91.
He was 93 years old. Yeah. How old was Judi Dench, I wonder?
She's still alive, dude. She's not was. She still is.
I wonder how old she is right now.
She was just in Cats, dude.
She was not just in Cats. She was in Cats in 2020. That was five years ago.
True. You know,
she is 90 years old. She's
just
turned 90.
Is that the last movie she's been in?
I don't know. Let me look. That can't be right. I feel like that's wrong.
She's probably desperate to get another movie, so that's not her last movie in her own
bit. If the director of Cats got another, like, directing role Yeah, he's lined up to do another thing.
He is? I thought that motherfucker wasn't going to make anything
dude. No, and also she was in Belfast the year after Cats and Spirited. Right. So she's been in some stuff.
She was in Belfast. Right?
Yeah, everyone forgets about Belfast because it wasn't good. Tom Hooper's making a new movie, the director of Cats. For those who don't know, me and Ethan are massive Cats heads.
We love Cats, dude.
Upcoming movie is a movie called Photograph 51, which follows Rosalind Franklin, a brilliant scientist whose pioneering work in X-ray crystallography captured the image of that revealed the DNA's double helix structure. This includes Natalie Portman, who's playing Rosalind Franklin.
This guy's trying to do like an Oppenheimer move. He's
you're so right. He totally
crazy
is
smart because I just did Cats.
Oh my God.
That was going to be a blockbuster hit and it was not. Anyway, so.
What if he makes this X-ray movie and he does the thing where everyone's like skeletons?
So dumb.
That's the kind of choice this motherfucker would make.
I want everyone to be skeletons live.
Yes, 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 yes. We're going to record them all live, and then we're going to make them skeletons in post.
Great, I promise.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
I don't think anyone's going to give a budget again. Like, this is probably... He's shooting this shit on an iPhone, yes. Alex Garland style.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
That's the guy who did that, right?
Who?
Alex Garland? No, he
No, not Alex Garland. Fuck. Alex Garland's the guy who made... Well, he did work on 28 Days Later, which is shot on like video and stuff. But no, you're thinking about the guy who made Red Rocket and the Florida Project.
No, I'm thinking of the guy who made 28 Days Later. The latest one, because that one's shot on iPhone, right?
The new one was shot on iPhone?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Civil War was shot on iPhone?
No, not Civil War. No. The 28 Days Later one.
Oh, the newest 28
Days Later.
Yeah, but he didn't direct it. That was... Yeah, he just wrote it or produced it. The director was Danny Boyle. Who also directed
Danny
the first
Boyle.
Danny
That's
Boyle.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Anyway, sorry. Get back to Tomorrow Never Dies. Clearly a movie that is keeping our attention.
We went down a weird rabbit hole. Anyway.
Rabbits? Sorry, continue.
The general is like, hey, Russian general who happens to be here. Are you going to be able to take out all these terrorists? They're like, no, we can't kill anyone. It's election time right now. I don't want anyone to die. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure, whatever.
I can't kill them. What if they vote for me?
Exactly. So then the British general's like, all right, fucking bomb them with the Navy then. We're going to take out half the terrorists here. And M's like, my man hasn't finished a job. His job's not done yet. He's like, well, get your man out of there. So they're like, all right, get out of there, dude. So they start sending a message. And we're like, we don't know who this man is. It's called like White Wolf or something. And they launch the rocket, and it's 4 minutes impact. And they're like, what is your man waiting for? Why hasn't he left? They're like, oh, shit. One of the jets that is there has nuclear bombs on it.
Whoa.
And they did not catch that until now. And apparently, if that cruise missile hits them, it's going to then launch a nuclear explosion.
Jesus Christ.
Which is not great. That's way more than they bargained for. And they're like, oh, shit.
How is this a mistake?
I don't know how they didn't see it. They have a camera there and everything. They can see it themselves. They're idiots. So then they can't destroy the missile because it's far out of range. They can't self-destruct it. So they're like, oh, shit. And they're like, well, it might not explode, right? And the Russian guy's like, oh, well, probably. You know, it's got enough plutonium on it. It's going to make Chernobyl look like a picnic. And the general's like, can you Russians not keep anything under lock? So they're trying to get a hold of the White Knight, as they call him. White Wolf, excuse me, is White Knight.
The White Knight?
Excuse
me, do not talk about my lady like that.
So the White Knight's like, you talked bad about my woman. I'm going to blow up all your terrorist organizations. And he starts blowing up everything. He fucking takes on this entire group of terrorists. And I'm just like, okay, this is where he's just a superhero.
Yeah. No, this is 007, I'm guessing.
He's 007.
Yeah, he's a White Knight.
He's a White Knight.
The White Wolf.
He starts blowing up everything. And he hijacks the plane with nukes on it and tries to take off. These people have like literally Gatling guns. They're shooting at him. Missing him.
It's rough, too, because it makes the villains look really bad at their job.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So then he launches away with the thing, and another pilot actually follows him. He escapes. The cruise missile hits. It blows up. It's almost like everything gets blocked out. Headquarters can't see him. Of course, he comes out, and he's fine. But the plane he hijacked has a co-pilot in it, and the co-pilot starts choking him out.
Mm.
And Bond is being choked out, and he's using his legs to steer. He's like, oh, shit. So then the other plane goes up ahead of him, and Bond navigates under the plane below him.
Okay.
And then, this is the stupidest thing I've seen in a... It was one of the stupidest things I've seen in a Bond movie. I had to rewatch it multiple times, because I was like, what the fuck is happening?
We need to do, like, a list of the dumbest Bond things
stunts,
I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay, what is it? What is it? I'm so
excited.
So
he's being choked out, right? I'm like, oh, man. This is the first time I'm like, how is he going to get out of this one?
Yeah, movie just started. Is he going to die at the beginning?
He sees an eject button and hits the eject button on the second seat. And the second seat launches up into the second plane. And not just like, you'd like, oh, it launches up and blows up the plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would think.
Sure.
No, it launches up into the plane and he sits in the second pilot seat. So this is the first pilot, the guy who's actually piloting the plane, and then the second pilot, the pilot basically does like a little transfer.
What the fuck?
Bond transfers his secondary pilot into the other plane's secondary pilot, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then the plane crashes and explodes. I'm like, why did they do that? Why did they just cut the scene out and just have it crash and explode afterwards?
Yeah, yeah,
like, obviously the impact of the guy getting hit into that would explode, but he, like, the plane, like, has breaks open on the bottom, and he just sits there normally. Like, the seat's always been there.
It would go through so much machinery.
Yes!
Yeah.
He would explode, but it's a guy just sitting there. I'm like, that gotta be mush. It was so weird.
Do they, like, look at each other and then it explodes?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's, like, far enough away that kind
of
feels
I'm
like...
I'm imagining, an interior shot of the guy arriving inside of the plane, and the pilot's just looking at each other. Just go like, uh-oh.
It blows up.
Yeah.
That would make sense why it would blow up. It's, like, clearly the impact
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, yeah, clearly that's
up.
The point, right?
Or maybe, I guess, the hole it created might have blown up, but whatever. It was just like, what is happening? Anyway.
Sounds crazy.
Bond then just says... backseat driver.
I hate it. I hate it. Oh, man.
And then he gets on the phone and is like, White Wolf to White Rook. White Knight to White Rook, excuse me, because they're both chess pieces. And he says,
good job.
Admiral,
it out.
Where do you ask the Admiral where he wants his plane delivered? And everyone's like, Bond. We love him because, you know, military general doesn't like MI6 because they're just trying to like save lives while they're just
a bunch
like
of fancy schmancy
using their brains and stuff while instead of
they're using
raw
their brains.
Military brawn,
they're using their brains by like ejector seating people out of their chair. Their...
It fucking worked, did it not?
It, work.
It, it worked. This man was going to be choked out.
Yeah,
he somehow got out of it.
Yep.
Anyway. Then Bond hits
the... I
love
you referring to the man as Mush when he would get into the plane. It's so true.
He would
be Mush.
He'd be
Mush. He would just be organs.
He's a full person there.
He's a human being.
And the guy looks behind him and then it explodes.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. Sorry, I can't send you.
Anyway, Bond hits the thrusters in the plane and the glass shatters. Mm-hmm. And then we get to see the intro, the Bond intro.
How does it look? How does it sound? Yeah? No?
Lots of glass and x-rays of women. There's like x-rays of them.
X-rays. Those I'm talking about. Skeletons.
But then also women as, you know, computer chips?
Yeah.
You know the parts on the motherboard that are like soldered
to
like the other parts? They're like
boobies?
Women are covered in them.
What the fuck? That sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy. And you know you can't do this in real life, so they're all CGI.
Of course.
CGI women.
CGI skeletons dancing
around. And I was like, this is kind of cool. And then it started getting weird. It started looking like Lawnmower Man.
Yes!
They start going through CRT images.
Yes!
Like CRT screens. They go past like the red, green, blue colors of a CRT image, you know, when you get too close to it.
This is so strange.
It's fucking weird, dude.
Like, I'm trying to figure out how this fits in with the rest of, like, because, like, the last one takes place in Russia, like, a Russian...
It's about, like, the microchips and communications, I think, and the internet. Like, it's starting to come online at this point,
but then,
you know?
So, well, like, the people controlling the news couldn't have been... What about, like, a bunch of, like, dancing newspapers?
No, this is the future, baby.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's rough.
Some lady, like, pops up, takes her top off, and then pop-up ads pop in front of them.
Well, there's one where, like, they're, like, complete computer chips, and then, like, little screens combine to show that they're real hot ladies, you know? They're not silhouettes of weird computer chip people.
Mm, it sounds fucking crazy.
It's insane. Sheryl Crow singing the song.
No!
Yeah.
No! Yeah.
It's okay. It's not the best song, but it's not that bad.
Okay.
It's mid-tier.
Sheryl Crow's an incredible voice. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just imagining it in like a 007 movie.
With a bunch of computer chip women running around?
Yeah,
it's
that
strange.
Sounds crazy.
I don't know.
I don't know who I would have gotten at the time otherwise.
See it in your eyes, tomorrow never dies. Mm,
that's pretty great.
It's not bad. Anyway.
Who would you have gotten if it wasn't Sheryl Crow? I would have gotten someone like bring back, Random Access Memories.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think who else was back.
I mean, they didn't exist.
Darude.
Darude Sandstorm?
Yeah. No other popular songs back
then.
Yep,
that's it. That's
just
who it is.
It's
Darude. It's Darude Sandstorm. Yep.
No, there's got to be someone who actually sings. I don't know.
No, it's Darude Sandstorm.
Okay, right.
Yeah, we're doing that. Yep.
Not Darude, just Darude Sandstorm. Darude,
just that song, yeah.
Just that song. It would fit the aesthetic, honestly, pretty well.
That sounds awesome. Okay.
Anyway, so we cut to a ship. It's a British Navy ship.
Always a British Navy
ship. British Navy
ship.
It's getting over. Two Chinese MiGs, which are airplanes, for those who may not know, are flying over the ship, and they're kind of like, what the hell? And they get a message from the Chinese, and they're like, you're in Chinese territory. You guys need to leave. Or we're going to shoot you.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're not. Look at the satellite. Double check where we are. We're in international waters. What are you guys doing? And they send a message back like, we're going to fucking kill you if you start attacking us because we're in international waters.
If you start attacking us.
Yeah, we're going to shoot back.
Yeah.
But then we cut to Gupta. He's doing the evil hacking. He's hacking the satellites so they don't know where they are.
Yeah.
So they went off course.
Yeah, they don't know where they are.
So then we cut to this stealth ship.
Yeah, it's a stealth ship.
That has and a sea drill.
What do you think? It looks kind of goofy, right?
I thought it looked kind of cool.
Well, it looks cool in the same way that, like, the, you know, Armageddon looks cool, you know?
Yeah, it looked cool, Mike. I don't know what other sentence you want me to say. It's of
fair,
its time,
fair.
But it looks
it is
cool.
Of its time, but
just
it
like
is...
the Lawnmower Man sequence looked cool, but it was of its time.
It's of its time. Fair. Yeah.
So anyway, we got a scary looking blonde dude named Mr. Stamper.
Stamper, yes.
This era, this and the Timothy Dalton movies are like, you know what's scary?
Blonde
guys with slick back hair.
Yes.
Fucking scary.
I think he has two different colored eyes as well.
Do you think it's because of Drago in the Rocky IV movie?
Oh, definitely a
Khal
Drago
right?
thing. Yeah. Definitely.
It's got to be that. They're like, nothing scarier than that. So then.
Except for he was Russian, not German.
No, whatever. Close enough.
Yeah.
So then they're both on the Axis. So then they shoot Americans don't know.
No, that's
they
true.
Shoot a torpedo at
the Americans.
Ship. No, the British ship. And
sorry, I always forget that. Yeah,
I know.
British.
British people have a navy too.
Yeah.
I know. It's hard to know.
Weird, what do they do with it? Have tea and crumpets?
Out at sea.
A spot of tea.
A spot of tea on my ship.
Out in the water.
But they're like, we shoot a torpedo because they're gonna assume we're a stealth ship. They don't know we're here.
Right.
But they're gonna assume the MiGs dropped it. So they see, oh shit, torpedo, the MiGs must have dropped it. And they say, Bryce, it's a torpedo, but it's like a crazy drill torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
It literally, they control it through the ship. It breaks in the hull, then it just starts driving through the ship, grinding up all the fucking parts of the ship, super sinking it, you know?
Right.
It's pretty
right.
crazy. And then they're like, okay, the British people are like, give home base our position and abandon ship, we're sinking.
Yeah.
And they give them the position. And they're actually like, the bad guys are like, okay, let's shoot a missile at the MiGs and blow one of them up. So they shoot a missile at the MiGs to like give them all a bad signal because, you know, they mentioned the British people were like, we're going to fucking shoot you down.
Yeah.
So they're starting like a war going on here.
Trying to start a war.
Classic bad guy Bond shit, you know?
Yes. Be a third party, start a war between two super nations where there's already bad blood between them.
Exactly. Yes. Already tensions there.
Exactly.
So then they say, you know, the bad guys are saying, like, looks like their transmission was going to be 70 miles away from where they actually were. No one's ever going to find this wreck.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever. So then they go and talk to Mr. Stamper, contact some guy named Carver. And Carver's writing these headlines about all these people were killed.
How funny is it that the guy that runs a giant, like, media conglomerate of, like, news writes the headlines?
I know, it's hilarious.
That shit is the funniest thing to me. As we come from like the press world, it's hysterical to imagine like Rupert Murdoch sitting in a room going like, what are we gonna get? Can anyone come with a funny pun for this?
Yeah. Or even the guy from Succession, like,
Brian Cox.
Cox writing all the headlines.
It's like, this is so absurd, but it also works so well for this movie. Like,
well, he also has that, but the thing that's kind of weird is it's absurd.
Yes.
But nowadays, there's some very egoatistical people running a lot of companies.
That's true.
Could totally see someone
I can
like
see
Elon
like
Musk
an Elon Musk
writing some
headlines himself.
That seems pretty accurate.
Yeah. No, he'd just get AI to do it for him.
Doesn't matter. He'd still
control
the AI to write it.
He'd be
right?
overseeing it. Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. So he's like, tell me the exact number of survivors. And so they see all these people swimming up to the evil sub. And they're like, oh, we're saved. And then Mr. Stamper comes out with a gun and just fucking guns
them
all down while
they're
recording it. Then they dive down, they check the missile room and steal some missiles.
Yes.
And then they're like, Mr. Gupta, phase one is complete. And Mr. Stamper talks to Carver. Never mind. Mr. Stamper. I got it mixed up because I thought Mr. Stamper was Carver because they never mentioned Carver's name. I had to figure it out later.
It took me a while, too.
It took me a while. So Carver comes up to this kind of like conference headquarters he has with all of his different media conglomerates,
yes,
and starts talking about like, oh, what havoc will we wreak today, Carver Media Group? Mr. Jones, are you ready to release our new software? And he's like, yes, as requested, it's full of bugs, which means people will be forced to upgrade for many years.
Woof.
I know.
I feel like a lot of like modern businesses watch this movie and we're like, you know what?
That's a good idea. I mean, that's been the case for a while. I mean, that's how Microsoft got in all that trouble back in the day with the issues. Anyway, so then he also says another guy, he's like, hey, make sure to tell the president he has to sign the bill to lower the cable rates or release the video of him in the hotel with the cheerleader. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we can do that. And he says, and after we get him to sign it, release the video anyway.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, this guy's crazy.
Release the fact that he's on a list.
That wouldn't do anything. You'd have to actually
release
the list.
Because Carver would also be on the list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was also in that cheerleader room. I was taking the video.
I was the cheerleader.
So then he gets some news from Mr. Stamper that they have a video of these people getting executed, and he's like, hold the presses, just in, we have the perfect story to launch our new satellite network. We're gonna talk about how this World War III is boiling up and they're trying to kill people, and there's a tension between like a horrible attack on the British Navy executing all these people. Sure. And all this stuff. Billions of people watch it and hear it, and you know what? There's no news like bad news, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut to the Netherlands, and James Bond...
And they're like, there's no bad news here!
There's no bad news here! James Bond and this lady are speaking Dutch, and he's banging this language professor.
Whoa.
And he's saying something like, I always like to learn a new tongue. But then he has to answer a phone call, and it's Moneypenny, and Moneypenny's like, where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm in Oxford. And he's like, okay, well, we have a situation.
Doesn't here. Believe him for
no,
a second.
No, we have a Ministry of Defense, and you hear like him kind of like making out with the lady in the background. She's like,
you always were a cunning linguist, James.
And she hangs up, and then M is behind Moneypenny, and
M is like eating some lady out again. No, what does she say?
M is behind Moneypenny, and Moneypenny says,
don't ask. Don't tell.
Yeah.
Cut from the headlines.
We all know where this movie was made. Which implies, like, James Bond is gay.
Yep. But we don't ask.
We don't ask.
He doesn't
tell. Yeah, exactly.
He really does tell. He likes ladies, at least.
He does like the ladies. Yep. He loves the ladies.
Loves them.
Yeah.
Got a lot of beards, maybe. Who knows?
Gay James Bond. That's what we need to start saying.
Yeah.
Is James Bond just like going down
on
some
guy? Oh my God. I can't imagine the media cycle around that, though.
That would be rough. You think the
Cracker Barrel was crazy?
Gay James Bond?
Oh man.
That's going to be rough.
That'll be triggering for all those people out there.
Oh, they would be having a rough day. They're like, I want him to be banging ladies, not guys.
I want the Bond boys.
The Bond boys!
Oh, I'd love that. Who'd be a good Bond boy?
A Bond boy? I don't want to think about the Bond boys.
I see.
I thought you were talking about a group of like the Proud Boys, the boys who were against Bond.
No, I'm talking about the guys that Bond bangs.
Oh, okay. It would.
The Bond girls. Yeah.
Okay. The Bond boys. First off, either one of the Challengers guys.
Oh, that's a great one.
Thank you.
That's a great
one.
What about
you?
I think the weird rat boy, Barry Keoghoff or whatever his name is, the guy who's dating Sabrina Carpenter.
Yes.
Was dating Sabrina Carpenter.
He's the Joker in the new Batman movies.
He'd be a good Bond boy.
That's a good Bond boy. But he's a freaky Bond boy.
He'd be the villain Black Widow type situation.
What's the version of a Black Widow that's a boy?
I don't think there's any like male equivalent that like kills the woman, because the woman's usually more important than
most serial killers.
I mean, like an animal species.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like a
that's
black
fair.
Widow.
Yeah.
So you just call him serial killer? Just
call him most men, sadly. It's not really an equivalent for men who are violent towards women.
In other animal societies.
Yeah.
Huh.
Just in humanity.
Anyway, enough of that politics. We got ourselves riled up here. Back to a James Bond movie
James
made
Bond
in 1997. Anyway, the general's like, we know exactly where it was. GPS isn't lying. M's like, well, I don't know. We got a girl in Singapore who was like, we just found the ship like a few days, like a day, 3 hours ago.
I just love imagining like a very unprepared guy at his job.
Are you talking about me?
No, not you. You're the one reading this out for the first time. Imagine like a guy in a James Bond movie just like tripping over his lines. Like,
and it's
mixing.
M?
And it's just, they're just like, I just did not get any sleep last night.
I'm so sorry.
Tired. Look, yeah.
I was one of Bond's Bond boys. I was looking up all night.
It was three. It was two hours ago. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
I don't know what is happening.
Sorry.
Continue. M's like, let's I'm trying to prevent World War III here. Let's not just go immediately start bombing China. And then the general says, I don't think you have the balls for this job. And she says, perhaps, but the advantage is I don't have to think with them all the time. And M's like, sorry, I keep calling him M, the general.
You think M should be a man.
I think M should be a man.
Yeah, and you think James Bond should be straight.
he says, you have 48 hours, M, to do your investigation.
Sure.
Basically says. And then we got to the headlines. 17 British soldiers killed? No. Murdered. Is what Carver puts.
Yeah.
And then they get some... Oh, that's what he puts in the... publication that's the Bond headlines. Actually arrives in.
Yeah.
He gives a paper that says 17 British sailors murdered, and they're like, did you leak this? And General's like, no, I didn't leak this. And apparently they used the same ammunition used by the Chinese Air Force.
Of course.
And then, you know, the general's like, that settles it. We said in the fleet, you have 48 hours to investigate before we make contact. So then they're like, all right, well, we contact Singapore agent killed 3 hours ago. We found him not that long ago. Must have known something beforehand is what Bond was saying. And tomorrow's a newspaper that Carver makes, which is an interesting name for a newspaper.
For the title as well.
Yeah. Tomorrow well, I think there was like today, right? So there was that
that
tabloid today. So they're playing
they're
off that,
it
right?
Tomorrow. What does Tomorrow Never Dies imply? Like that the news...
The press never ends, baby.
Yeah,
the
that's
news
right,
never
right?
Ends.
Like,
you know
just
what?
Because Carver goes down doesn't mean that and somebody else won't come back up again.
Not wrong, baby.
They're not wrong. They're
There's
not
always
wrong.
News, baby.
There's always the news.
Now, who publishes it? Also questionable. So, anyway, they said the thing is M is now debriefing Bond in like a
oh, car. Wow, they're getting together?
No, not that way.
Oh, okay.
And says, like, I didn't want to tell the general this, but one of the signals came from Carver satellites.
Mm.
So I'm going to send you to their launch party in Hamburg because Carver's launching a new station, 24-hour news channel, and they're celebrating it in Hamburg, so I want you to go there.
Okay.
Everyone is very excited for this, except the Chinese, who refuse broadcasting rights. Also, I believe you had a relationship with Carver's wife. Use your relationship... if you need to. And he's like, I don't know if she likes me anymore. And then M's like, remember, you got to pump her for information if you have to. And Moneypenny says, oh, you'll have to decide how much pumping is needed, 007. And then he looks at her and says, if only that were true for you and I, Moneypenny.
And M is like, guys, don't do this in front of me.
Yeah. Says, I don't know.
I need to have plausible deniability here.
She's in like the front of the limo or whatever.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah. She's just like, I will sick HR on the two of you. This is fucking disgusting.
So then Bond is in like, I believe, the train station somewhere in Germany. Mm-hmm. And he sees a newspaper that says China warns the British fleet, and he's talking to someone in German. He says, I need a rental car, kind of weirdly. And then we see a guy come up
and
he says, if you sign here, Mr. Bond, it's the insurance damage waiver for your beautiful car. Will you need fire coverage? He's like, yes. Will you need collision coverage? Yes. Will you need bodily harm coverage? He's like, I hope not. And yes, it is.
It's cute.
He's there
you
doing
can
this
see those
as an Avis car. He's an Avis
away.
Car rental guy.
Yeah.
The amount of product placement has gone up in these movies, by the way.
It's upsetting.
I will say the last movie I was reading I think this is the first time they got BMW signed a deal.
What? Because the car he's driving is a BMW.
And I think they mentioned some like academics postured that this is one of the best deals you can make. Like BMW made is to be in these movies as like the car.
Oh,
like, is a
huge I guess that
deal.
Makes sense. Yeah. Because they are helpful to him.
Very helpful. Yeah. Very good. Well, especially this part. So he says, here's your new BMW. All the usual stuff you need. It's got bullets in it that you can shoot. It's got titanium stuff.
Sure.
You know, all that stuff. who gives a shit about that? What we're talking about now is what's
Q inventing?
So, for this, I only wrote down what James Bond was saying.
Yes.
Because Q, he makes some jokes, but James
Bond's the
one
that's making the references. Okay.
So, this is a car, mind you. Now, I'm going to give you, this is the hint you get. It's a car, all about car.
It's all about the car. Got it.
So, Bond says,
yes.
I think we've met.
Is it a mirror?
No. Think about Bond. He doesn't love himself as much as he loves
the ladies.
Uh-huh.
Oh, is it one of those little dancing ladies that are on the like the luau girls that are
no,
on the...
no, no.
What is it? What is it? I give up.
It is like a voice assistant.
Oh, the car. Yes. I see it later in the movie too. I hear her later. Yeah.
Yep. He says, I think we met. And then the next one I have to say.
Okay, cool. There's another one.
Bond says, well, let's see how she's going to respond to my touch. This one's tough.
Let's see how she's going to respond to my touch.
My touch also... AQ. Like AAQ. Let's see how she responds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is this also in reference to
this
the
is
car?
A car? Yeah, this is a reference to a car.
Is it a?
You probably see this in your house.
I think it is. So is it the phone that he's able to use to control the car to drive around?
You got it.
Yay! I got one.
Because Q is like, you can't fucking drive this. And he immediately gets on it and does all these like fucking burnouts and stuff.
Right. With the phone. With it's like a flip Nokia phone, I think. Right?
Yeah. But that's another thing where I'm like, Bond's too perfect at this.
He's so good at driving this.
He just got this thing.
It's like, because like you have to be kind of, you have to be a gamer to be this good at it. Right? You know? Yeah. You have to like really good, like, you know, reflexes.
Exactly. And like even Q eyes. Tried using it and he was like, this is kind of hard.
Well, Q's an old man.
He like invented it.
Yeah, but he's got a team of people. He's probably, boy like in the background.
So he does all these
white
cool,
knight.
He does all this cool driving and stuff. Yes. And then Bond looks at him and says, think we understand each other. And
oh,
then,
is this the third one that I'm getting or no?
No, this is just a, okay. There's no more. This is
got it.
And then Q says, grow up, 007. And that is the end of What's Q Inventing?
How creepy does he look now, right? He's old. He's an old man.
He's old. I don't know. At this point, he's wrapped around being cute now.
You think he's cute now?
He's got a little... He's in his little Avis
he
like,
looks like
uniform.
He looks like a laboo-boo.
He's a little bus boy now. You know? He's got a little
uniform.
He's kind of cute.
Like,
he's a cute little old man now.
Yeah, it's like when you put like
around.
A monkey in
well,
clothing.
Well, he's not fucking spying on like women and stuff now.
That's
a little
true.
Creep with his little remote control car.
That's true. That's
he's just
true.
Like, I don't know. I'm here in my little outfit doing my little
did
job.
You see his gross little fingernails though?
Yes, I sure did. Oh, you definitely see him as he's touching the little control panel.
Oh, God.
Controlling the car.
Yeah. Ooh. Get a double.
I feel like he trimmed his nails a little bit. They're not looking as bad.
Oh yeah, he had to get someone else to do it for him because he's not going anywhere with this. Imagine being disgusted by your own fingernails, just like
Yeah, man. Imagine that.
Oh, you're not disgusted. Your fingernails are fine.
Now we go to a huge
Ethan,
old party.
Your fingernails are fine.
There's a big old party. Carver's here, and he's talking about I didn't run those stories of this bad cow stories just because someone. Who owes me money in poker and pissed me off? I didn't
Mad
do that.
Cow. Mad Cow.
Remember Mad Cow?
I remember Mad Cow. That was our biggest concern.
His biggest concern is mostly in the UK, too.
Health-wise, yeah.
That was our COVID in the early days. Anyway, so then...
Nah, SARS. That was the big fear back in the day.
COVID is SARS, right?
Yeah, but back in the day, there was a SARS outbreak that people were concerned about.
That's
true.
New banker, Bond comes in. And they're like, I want to introduce you to this new banker called Bond. James Bond.
Wow, he's not even giving a false name.
No, he's just giving his own name, which I thought was crazy considering it's like
he's
a different
fucking
job.
Secret agent. Yeah.
Anyway, so like, this is crazy. How's the market reacting to this crisis with this, you know, this world war is almost going to pop up.
Yeah.
Bond's like, you know, they'll figure it out. And then, but he, you know, Carver's not that interested. You know, he's more interested in Wei Lin appears now and is like, hey, this is Wei Lin. She's actually a journalist from China.
Oh, she's a journalist.
That's her cover. Because I know she's clearly not a journalist from China.
No.
She's
a spy.
New agency. And Carver's like, ooh, we should get you on payroll. We should start opening a China bureau. And she's like, you don't have a China bureau. And he's like, wow, we could start one.
Yeah.
So then he shows up to find, he's like, well, I'm not going to get anywhere with Carver. So he goes to his wife, Mrs. Carver.
Paris is her name.
Yeah. What's her name?
Paris.
Really? I never saw her. I don't think I ever mentioned her name in my half.
They call her Paris because it comes up later what's about to occur right now. And I thought they were referring to the location originally.
Oh, that's funny.
Maybe this was also like a Paris Hilton reference, actually.
Oh, my God. Was she bigger than that? I thought she was in the 2000s.
I don't think she was ever big. She was pretty small back in the day, too.
So he goes up and says, I always wondered how it ever feel if I see you again. And then she just slaps him right across the face and says, oh, I guess that's how I felt.
Yeah.
But it's weird because she just slaps, open place slaps him. And all these people around and nobody cares. Like, no one cares.
Yeah.
And then she says, how about the words, I'll be right back. And then a guy comes up and is like, what will you drink? And she orders him, you know.
Shaken, not stirred.
And he says, I'll also order you the same thing. And she's like, no, I don't drink that anymore. I drink Mr. Carver champagne. And he's like, wow, you've changed a lot. And then he says, okay, well, I think your husband's in trouble because some shit's going down. And you got to watch out.
I think your husband's in trouble. You got to watch out. Yeah.
It's bad. She's like, nah, he can take care of himself.
Yeah.
Then Carver meets up with Bond.
Right.
Like, oh, you know each other. And it's like, yeah, we all know. He used to be dating an old roommate of mine. So she just lies to him about how their actual relationship is. But before then, there is an important scene I did miss, which is she's talking to Bond and is like, do you still sleep with a gun under your pillow? Like, she knows about his past.
This is going to come up later.
It'll definitely come up later. Mm. Anyway, so then Carver mentions to his wife, hey, this is Wei Lin. I'm trying to get her behind a news desk. Mm-hmm. And she says, hope she doesn't resist too much. Ugh. I know. It's implying that he must bang all of his news anchors, ugh, which I've seen Succession.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Bond then starts making ship puns in front of Mr. Carver.
Ship. Oh.
Because he obviously did the whole ship thing. And seeing if he cracks or has any.
What kind of ship puns?
The whole world's sinking. Mm. I hope you don't go adrift, right? Stuff like that. Your new satellite.
Hope you get a
sisters.
New anchor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah. And then Carver leaves and he goes and talks to his security. He's like, I have a problem with this banker. You should get him out of here. So then they're like, all right, Mr. Carver's first broadcast is going to start. They're going to broadcast it live from there. He's going to introduce his whole new network that he's going to launch.
Right.
And so Bond's watching with Wei Lin, and Wei Lin's like, what kind of banking do you do? And he's like, hostile takeover is what I specialize in.
Mm.
And they start the broadcast, and Carver's like, this is going to be a happy broadcast. But sadly, terrible conflict is happening in the south of China, which could sadly destroy every human on the face of this earth.
Whoa.
And I'm like, wow, what a fucking editorialization that is. So then they say, Bond, you have a phone call. So Bond follows the phone call, and he goes in there, and it's a soundproof room, and they beat the shit out of him.
Oh, no.
There is no phone call. And they say, no one can hear you scream. There's no phone call.
They were straight up lying to him.
They were straight up lying to him.
Yeah.
They beat him up, and I feel like they ADR all the lines in this for some reason. I don't see any of the guy's lips moving, and they're just like,
take that.
What are you doing here, Mr. Bond? All this stuff.
Sure.
They beat him up, and they alert Mr. Stamper about all this. He's like, yeah, just make him uncomfortable. I'll be there in a bit.
Make him uncomfortable.
And
Put him in a really itchy suit.
Exactly. Yeah. So then he starts fighting. He breaks out eventually.
Of course he does.
All those guys, they make him punch each other. He breaks through the wall there and finds conveniently next to a bunch of power. So he turns off the power to everything, mm-hmm, and it cuts off the broadcast short. And of course, Mr. Carver's crazy. So he's just like, ah, what happened? Ah, and the lady who's running everything's like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. He's like, you're fired. Get out of my face. I hate you.
Yeah. I do kind of like that, Jonathan Pryce is playing Carver as a petulant child.
Yes.
It's
absolutely.
It's a good choice that he's
made.
And
relevant.
Very much so.
So then Bond is taking vodka shots, but you know where he is. He's just kind of calmly sitting somewhere and putting a silencer on his pistol. And Carver's watching the news about how his launch was a huge failure. And even the guy who was announcing the news was like, sorry, Carver, wasn't us. Don't know why your broadcast ended.
Yeah.
And he's like, when I was 16, I went to work for a newspaper in Hong Kong, he says to his wife. And my editor said at the time, key to a great story is not who, what, or when, but why. And my dear, your friend is the why.
Oh, shit. How do you know?
He's like, babe. She's like, babe, I barely know him. And he's like, I don't know about that. So we see Bond waiting, still in that same position with the vodka. Smirnoff, specifically.
Mm.
Brandon.
I could go for some Smirnoff right now.
Yeah. Walks in.
Some Smirnoff, some, and then I'll drive my BMW.
I'll mix the Pierre with the Smirnoff and have a little vodka soda there.
Yeah.
Walks in Mrs. Carver, and he's like, you shouldn't be getting involved with this. And she says, it's too late for me not to get involved with this.
Yeah.
He's on to us. Yeah, and she's like, you know, I used to look in the papers every day for your obit. And then it's like, why did you leave me? Is it because I got too close? And he just says, yes. And then they start making out. Taking off her clothes. They get on. She's like, oh, I missed you, James. And then Mr. Gupta.
Is his wife Terry Hatcher? She like dark hair, dark eyes.
You might be. I did not actually look up who Mrs. Carver was.
I think it's Terry Hatcher.
You might be right.
Because I see her for a second in my half of the movie. And let me just say, things do not go well for...
It is Terry Hatcher, you're right.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't recognize her because her hair is short.
Oh, her hair is short, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So then...
From Desperate Housewives,
Desperate Housewives, yeah. Classic.
Classic Desperate Housewives.
Desperate Housewives. Yeah. So, Mr. Gupta's hacking in and sees that Bond has a perfect employment record and tells this to...
Perfect employment.
Tells us to Carver.
Yeah.
And Carver's like, so what does that mean? And Gupta's like, he's too perfect.
He's fake.
He's a government agent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And then Carver's like, do you think my wife knows? And he's like, well, okay, here's it's a bunch of static, but check this out. And it's her asking if Bond keeps a gun under his pillow all the time. They have that recording.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think my wife needs to make an appointment with the doctor.
Dr. Stamper.
Well, no, he's not the doctor. There's another guy.
Oh, there's another doctor.
You don't see a doctor in her half, do you?
No, I don't think so.
Interesting. So she's getting dressed and she says, I have to go. And Bond's like, you know, you don't have to get involved with all this. I can get you out of the country in 4 hours. And she's like, no, I have no choice. I can't let him go. Like, I'm going to tell you all this stuff. He has a secret lab atop of this building. There's a lab at the top. And this is a nice note because like Bond's just like, no, stop fucking telling me this. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to get involved. You don't have to do this.
How is he acting in this moment? Is it good? Is it like he's concerned? He's
he
paranoid?
Does actually seem really concerned.
Wow, that's exciting.
I do like this part.
I like that.
And then she leaves and says, this job is murder on your relationships. Timely. I don't know if timely is the right
that's
word.
That's really, but I understand relevant. Where you're going. Yeah,
relevant.
Foreshadowing.
Timely. Timely foreshadowing.
Timely foreshadowing.
Very timely too much in this movie. So we're in a secret lab now. You see Bond running around the rooftops trying to get in. He uses a cell phone to lockpick it and get into like the hatch. He goes in the secret hatch. He sees Gupta talking some shit about like the satellite's worth $33 million. Send it back. Make sure it's safe.
Right.
Bond breaks into another secret room with his shock cell phone. His little shocking thing on it.
Yes.
And he looks for everything. Can't find anything. But then he eventually finds a safe behind a picture. He scans the finger. This is dumb. He scans the fingerprint on the fingerprint sensor and then puts the scan of it back to the fingerprint
sensor.
No, that's
not how it works.
I know. And then it opens.
Oh, no.
He gets
the secret
safe. It's very silly. It has weird cocaine in it.
Weird
cocaine, a bunch of scandals with some other people.
And weird cocaine.
It's and,
blue.
I realized I forgot to explain the MacGuffin in the whole movie.
Yeah, what is it?
It's this like red
encoder.
Box. It's an encoder. Basically, yeah. That was seen at first at the Russian arms dealer thing at the very beginning of the movie. And this is how Mr. Gupta was using to hack into the British GPS.
Right.
To shake them up and show how they're not doing. They're using this. This is a MacGuffin.
You're right.
It's whatever. Important. It's important, but I didn't need to mention it because it really wasn't. It was just like things are happening. It's just there.
That's
it
fair.
Lets them do this bad stuff.
Yes, it does.
So anyway, he's about to leave. He's about to get out scot-free with the little MacGuffin.
But
then he hears some noise. He pulls out his gun and out the front door is Wei Lin appears and the whole building alarm goes off.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, looking for a news story, and then she runs one way, and he runs off the roof. People are trying to chase him down. There's a whole chase scene where they're trying to chase him. Wei Lin actually uses a gadget to grapple to the top of the roof and then kind of like walks down the side while Bond has to go through all the stairs manually.
Nice.
Eventually ends up going into like a printing press, almost falls into it, but then throws another guy into it and it starts printing blood.
That's awesome.
And then Bond says, they'll print anything these days.
He should have said, if it bleeds, it leads.
Oh, that's so good.
That's embarrassing, Bond. You really should have thought of that when you were
in. If it bleeds,
it
leads. I think that's too niche of a, I think it's actually like inside journalism.
Oh, is it really? Well, it sounds like that guy's inside journalism now.
Anyway, so he calmly walks out of the printing press, almost gets away, but then someone starts shooting at him again.
Yeah.
He jumps on like a dolly and like slides on his belly into like a bunch into a bunch of like newspaper rolls. Mm-hmm. Then he gets in his cool ass Beamer and leaves. And he gets a call from Mr. Carver. Mr. Carver's like, "You have two things that belong to me. My red box and my wife in your hotel room." Bond's like, "Huh?" So Bond parks in his hotel room, puts the red box in his like special glove compartment that has like a secret lock on it. He puts it in there, pulls out a gun from his other lock that is also in the glove box. He arms his car with a special like high security thing and walks back to his hotel. Mr. Stamp is actually noticing him going to the hotel because obviously they know where his hotel is.
Of course.
And Mr. Stamp. They say like, yes, Mr. Stamp or whatever.
I like it.
He then tells his goons, go find me the encoder. So then Bond enters the hotel room.
Yes.
And this scene's kind of cool. He finds her body.
Yes.
And on the news report, he hears the report that says like Mrs. Carver was found dead in a hotel room. And he's all like, whatever. But then they say like,
and James Bond.
And an unknown individual was also killed in the same spot.
Oh, that's cool.
And then out pops a guy and he's like, hold still, put your hands above your head. And there's a guy pops out and he's like, I have a great shot in you. Lying down in the bed next to Mrs. Carver.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls out the VHS and is like, this story will be on the news in an hour. And it's the guy named Dr. Kaufman.
Mm.
The actor is that guy who was in the movie Ghost. You recognize him. He's a very tall guy. He's very, very kind of
with the nose.
With a nose.
And the
he's
eyes.
Got very, very
sunken in eyes.
Sunken in eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
He plays Pigeon Man in Hey Arnold.
Yes, exactly. He's in this movie. He's an outstanding. I can't speak tonight.
It's having a rough time.
I'm having a rough time tonight. Pistol marksman.
Oh, okay.
So, meanwhile, people are trying to break into the car to get the doohickey and use a sledgehammer. Use guns.
But they can't get in.
They can't get in. They keep getting shocked. They're trying everything. And so they call Dr. Kaufman. This scene's goofy, but kind of funny in a good way. He pulls up his cell phone. He's like, what? He's like, oh, you don't want me to kill him. You want me to get him to open the car for you? They can't get in? Did you call Auto Club? And they're like, make him tell you how to open it. He's like, all right. So he hangs up. And he's like, how do you open your car? I feel like an idiot. I don't know what to say. This isn't my job.
I like this
guy. I'm just supposed to fucking kill you. But you know,
to do?
I do know how to torture you. And he's like, is that why you got a doctor? He's like, no. I do that as a hobby.
Right.
I'm a doctor and killing people with a gun. And he's like, well, my phone does it, Bond says. So grab my phone. He's like, oh, let me take your phone. He's like, just press recall and then 3. And I'm like, oh, remember recall, that button recall?
I remember.
It's like, press recall and then 3. And he presses it and it fucking shocks his ass. He shocks himself. And then Bond pulls out the gun on him. And he's like, I'm just a professional doing a job. And Bond's like, me too. And then he fucking shoots him in the head.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm like, awesome. So then people arrive at the hotel and Mr. Stamper sees Bond leave. And that's the end of my half.
Right. So, James ends up getting into his car, and he uses his little Nokia flip phone to drive the car.
Well, is it a flip phone?
It's not like a flip, but it's
just
like
an old brick phone.
It's an old
brick phone.
No, because it doesn't have It's not as big. It's not, it flips like sideways rather than up. So it's like,
is it?
Yeah. Okay. Because there's a little screen and buttons and stuff, you know. So there's some flippage to it.
Oh, I see. Kind of like slide. Yeah. Okay.
Slides. It's a slide flip phone.
Okay, actually, there's a whole Wikipedia article on it.
About this phone?
It's not flip. Sorry to say.
It's a slide.
It does not slide. It has a top that slides out. It's a very, very top. It's not the keyboard at all, though. It's a flat.
No, I know. It's but there's two parts to it that like detach from each other.
I suppose so. Apparently, this is called an Ericsson JB988, which is a fictional cell phone manufactured by Ericsson.
Wow, I thought it was a Nokia. Okay, and apparently there was an image of James Bond in the back of his car on the phone, and it looks like he is just on the phone very like ecstatically, and it's turned into a meme. So people have actually like memed James Bond looking at his phone like online, because it looks like he's just like looking at the news or like playing video games on his phone from this scene of him just looking at his phone. Are you seeing it now?
I'm looking up Tomorrow Never Dies meme and I don't see it.
Okay. Either way. So he's able to drive the car via the phone. It's very hard for James Bond to look cool driving a car on a phone. However, very cool car effects.
Okay, I do see it.
You see it now, right? And yeah. It's very silly because it's like he's...
Because it flips open, you're right. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, okay. And it's like, it looks like he's looking at his phone very dramatically.
You know what it flips open like? Actually how like modern flip phones work.
That's right? What I was, yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Not like an old flip phone.
Not like an old flip phone, like a modern one where it's like you have the portrait mode and it opens up and then there's like a horizontal
exactly. mode. Exactly. Hey, thank you. Okay. So I was just going to say very cool car effects. There's a lot of cars exploding in the garage, a lot of cars smashing into each other. You know, it's really, really cool. Very good effects, very good scene. And then eventually he's just chased by way too many people. So, and he can't escape the garage. So he ends up jumping out of the car and hiding and then using the phone to drive the car around, lure people out of the garage. So he's able to escape.
I don't think I realized that was the same phone.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
And so he...
I don't realize now he did show that. Okay.
There you go. And he drives the car off of the top of the parking garage, and it lands inside of an Avis car rental store.
Avis, dude. They back spent so again. Much money.
We cut to U.S. Air Base, south of China Sea. And in we meet Wade. Wade is back.
Aww.
He's back.
Well, you know what? Wade's not insufferable. He's just fine.
He's just fine. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and a bucket hat.
I'm not excited like I would Felix.
No, Felix is... Well, Felix can be hit and miss, but Wade is almost always like a meh, you know?
Yeah, he's better than the other guy.
Yeah. Wade says that the U.S. has no interest in World War III unless they start it. And so Bond shows off his missing encoder. He's like, I have the encoder here. And so they use it to figure out what happened to the downed Devonshire, the boat, the ship. And they mention that someone has tampered with the encoder.
Mm.
And so they're able to figure out where the Devonshire is. So Bond uses he ends up jumping into what is essentially Vietnam or Vietnamese waters. So it isn't owned by the Chinese government or the British government.
Okay,
he's jumping into waters that if he is found can get the U.S. in a lot of trouble. Basically, and so he drops down there and he's looking around the downed ship, the Devonshire. To try to investigate it. He's swimming through it. He finds corpses and he also finds missiles. And then a woman arrives with a harpoon gun and points it at him. But they seem to recognize each other. And the ship that they're in is sort of like teetering precariously against the edge of like a big chasm. Mm-hmm. And it ends up like turning in such a way that the door to the room that they're in closes at a very deep depth. And so they need to escape the ship before it falls into the deeper depths. So they need to remove their oxygen tank and swim through a very small pipe. It's very unnerving. It's very scary. And they end up swimming through the ship up to the top. They breach like over the water. She takes her mask off. And this is the moment I'm like, wait a minute. Is that Michelle Yeoh? Like, I didn't know who it was because she was wearing like a mask and everything. So now I'm like, what the fuck? So they get picked up by unfriendlies. It's Stamper, I now know. Stamper's up there. They pick him up and they arrive at the Big Bad's building, which is Carver. Carver's building. Carver has a big like signage of himself out in front of the building of him just like looking out over the city. Very similar to a Cheeto and Chief.
Not that phrasing.
And General Chang is there as well. I don't know if you mentioned him before, but he's a general, he's a Chinese general.
I've seen him before.
Michelle Yeoh. Do we want to refer to her as Michelle Yeoh or Miss Lin?
Whatever. Miss Lin's fine.
All right, we'll call her Lin. So Lin recognizes him immediately. He's the Chinese general. And Carver is drafting the obituaries of both Lin and James Bond.
Writing the headlines?
Yes.
Yeah.
Writing the headlines.
He loves writing the headlines. What if he just...
But it's the obituary section.
Oh, yeah. You know, my favorite part to write headlines.
I know. Right. It's imagining, like a headline of an obituary. I guess it'd be a pretty big deal. It also reminded me of like the one time that James Bond faked his own death. Remember?
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is where I learned that his wife, Paris, is dead. And
he became a ninja afterwards. Is he going to become a ninja in this one?
He does not become a ninja in this one. No, that would be very rude to Miss Lin. It wouldn't stop him before. And so, you know, Bond sees him writing his obituary and he goes, did you write the obituary of your wife? Yeah. And then Carver's like, she made her decision when she decided to pair up with you.
That's true. There was a whole thing I left out of kind of their conversation, but she kept saying, like, I made my bed with Carver. I'm going to stick with him.
Yeah.
And Bond's like, no, dude, he sucks.
He sucks,
don't
bro.
Do it that. She's like, I already made my decision. And, like, clearly it was a bad decision.
It was a bad decision. So
she ended up dead in the bed of Bond.
Exactly. The bed of Bond. So we now learn Carver's plan. He's trying to start a war. He says the wards are the new weapons, and he's going to use the media to control the world. And this is also where I meet Gupta, played by Ricky Jay. And I'm like, Ricky Jay, holy moly.
Jay.
Yeah, I'm like, big fan of Ricky Jay. And so they're about to torture Bond. This is also where we learn that, what was his name? The guy familiar? Kaufman? The doctor? Dr. Kaufman? Dr. Kaufman was like the mentor of Stamper. So Stamper like looked up to Kaufman and is very upset by the fact that like James Bond killed Kaufman. Very upset about it. Mm-hmm. And so Kaufman apparently used these special weapons or like knives in order to torture people. And Stamper is very good in it too. So he's going to also torture Bond. But of course, Bond and Lin fight back. They jump out the window onto the ledge of the building that they're in. And the only way to get to the bottom is to hold on to the giant sign I said earlier of Carver on the side of the building. So they hold on to the banner and they just rip down the middle of
it.
They rip down the middle of it. They slide all the way down. They're still a little bit far from the bottom. So they end up swinging the banner back and forth and breaking a window on the side of the building. And it's very funny because they break the window. They land. There's all these like scared people, and they're just so then Bond and Lin just like have to act casual, like, oh, well, this is normal, you know, we're fine,
we're just one of you scared people just like us.
Yeah, we're just terrified as well. So they get to the bottom. I didn't mention up until now they have been handcuffed, so they cannot like separate from each other. They have to work together. So at first they fight over whether or not they should take a car or a bike. They end up deciding on a motorcycle, and then they don't decide who they can't decide who to drive, who should drive. Bond ends up driving. And so they're driving a bike through like a town, a city, a village. They need to communicate while they're being chased. And so they decide, Lin decides to straddle Bond. So Bond is driving looking forward and Lin is straddling him looking behind him so that she can like tell him if like someone's unfriendlies calling, are coming. Yeah. And then also like she can like, you know, knock things over, like shoot things so that, you know, so all Bond is focusing on is going straight and all Lin is focusing on is stopping people from getting
going
to
straight.
Them.
Not like gay Bond. He'd be much different.
Gay Bond would be very different. No, yeah. Gay Bond would be like, ew.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So it's pretty great. I actually really liked this action scene a lot. It was really cool to see these two just like driving a motorcycle, like facing each
other. Was it sexy at all?
There was a moment where like she straddles him and she goes, don't get any ideas. Yeah. So a helicopter chases them over rooftops. It's really cool. There's this one moment where they land like inside of a room and they see the helicopter like looking for them, and it gets a little bit lower than the window that they're on, and they jump over the helicopter blades. It's a pretty cool stunt. They jump over the helicopter blades and then they like land on the bottom. They were on the roofs, now they're at the bottom, and the helicopter sees them, and there's this insane stunt where the helicopter is like pointed forwards towards where they are on the motorcycle, and there's all these like
hit them with the blades.
Yeah, kind of like cut them up, and there's all these just like random people standing there and they're being chased by the blades too, and I'm like, they're getting really close to this fucking helicopter blades. Like, I don't know how they did this.
In the flashbacks of Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I really am. And so they end up being a corner. They don't know what to do. They don't know how they're gonna get out of this. What are they gonna do? So Lin is like, there's no way out. And Bond's like, there's always a way out. And they grab a clothesline, and they throw it over the blades. The helicopter just fucking like starts like going everywhere. They jump into some water, like a nearby, like, I don't know, like a small pool,
a small body of water,
like, yeah. like a well. They jump in a well
and then jump in like a kiddie pool, right?
Honestly, it kind of seems like a kiddie pool. Jump in the kiddie pool, the helicopter explodes, they're fine. So then they shower together, they're showering off, and she's just like, don't get any ideas, because they're getting really close to each other.
Really like saying that.
And she takes off her earring so that she can undo their handcuffs. Undoes hers first, and then she attaches his handcuff to a the shower pipe, and then she runs off. She's like, "I work alone." She runs off.
Yeah, very relatable. She's like, he's like, "Ah, see myself."
Yeah, he's
in
like,
her.
"Oh, I see my, I can see myself in her, indeed." Inside
he also
of her.
Can't connect that. Yeah.
And so he does try looking for her, and then he sees a bunch of bad guys congregate outside of a building, and he's like, "Oh, she must be in there." So I want to say like 10 guys come in the building. She kicks all their asses, and he's standing outside the building. He probably punches out like 2 guys. So it's pretty funny how it's like, he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm helping.
I'm helping out here.
I'm doing something."
Yeah.
So a guy pulls a gun on Lynn, and Lynn is like, "Oh no, what am I going to do now? Like, he's cornered me." And then James Bond comes up, just fucking beats that guy up.
Nice.
Yeah. And he's like, "Can you please give me your earring? I want to take the cuffs off." And he's like, "This is about stopping a war. This isn't for revenge. We need to work together because our nations are going to go to war against each other. And we need to figure out a way to stop that, basically." Yeah, yeah. Because they say that apparently by midnight tonight, Gupta and Carver are going to fire a missile into Beijing.
Oh,
yeah. That's the ticking clock here.
Don't like that.
No, me neither. So at first you think that the building that Lynn is in is just like a random one, like sort of like a rundown building. But then she presses a couple buttons and all these like weapons come out of the wall. Ooh. And all like the walls like start turning, and it turns into like this super hyper, you know, militaristic modern.
I'm glad they have that shit, because I do like that a lot in the older James Bond movies, where they press a button, like a villain to press a button and be like, "Check out my secret map that's here."
It's
like
really
that.
Cool. And I like, and I'm it works. It's also cool because at first you're like, "Oh, like Lynn is just like the scrap, you know, person that's like different from Bond," but then you're like, "No, she's exactly the same.
She's getting funded."
Yeah, exactly.
She's well funded.
And then, so at first, Bond is like, "I'll search to see if I can figure out where the boat is, the ship is, the stealth ship, because they need to find where the stealth ship is."
Yeah,
that Gupta's on, because the plan is they're going to use the stealth ship to shoot missiles at both a British fleet and a Chinese like fleet.
They're
going to cause more chaos and confusion. And the idea is they're going to have one of them fire on the other one, and then they're going to shoot a missile into Beijing, so it makes it look like the British fired the first shot. Yes.
So far, I'm trying to figure out Carver's plan. Is his plan just to make World War III happen, basically?
Not just that. Now, I mentioned, what's his name? Commander Chang?
Yeah, yeah.
So here's the overall plan, which Carver eventually goes into. His plan is he doesn't just want to cause World War III because it's good for ratings.
Yeah.
He also wants to have and control the news in China.
Ah.
And so here's the idea: is if a missile is launched into Beijing, it immediately takes out everyone in the upper echelon of the government, which means Chang now gets control over the government of China.
Because he won't be there.
He then goes there, has control, and because he worked with Carver, he brokers a peace deal between China and Britain.
Yeah.
Is given
Carver access to their media.
And allows Carver access to the media. So that's the plan, basically.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
I don't even know if you'll make that much money off of it.
But it's not. It's just about controlling the world, man.
I guess you're right.
It's about controlling the media. Man. And he says he's going to get a hundred-year contract. And I'm like, damn, that's going to like outlive you, like the media conglomerate.
Kids reset, I guess. Whatever. Man, kids.
I don't think he has any children.
His new wife.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, there's this really funny moment where Bond is like, "Okay, I'm going to see if I can find where the ship is." And then he looks at the keyboard, and the keyboard is not in English. And so he's like, "Oh, okay, you take this one, actually." And then Bond's just like looking.
Wow, Bond knew how to speak German earlier. And he also was like a cunning linguist.
He's
so
like
I'm very
linguist.
Surprised he doesn't know
but
Mandarin.
All those have like Latin
You're right.
bases,
they're not,
you know?
Much different.
He's got to learn a whole different series of characters here.
That's a lot more hardcore.
So, yeah, and he likes hardcore. He's a hardcore linguist.
Hardcore cunning linguist. Yeah.
So he's now just looking around her lab, straight up stealing stuff, stealing like a watch. He steals the new Walther gun to like walk around in, and they get word that the stealth ship might be in this specific bay because there's a bunch of suspicious activity there, and all the locals try to avoid it. They consider it dangerous. And so they go and they arrive at a cove. They find the stealth water vehicle. It's getting dark. So they set up bombs all over the stealth vehicle, and they set it to blow in 10 minutes. But Just as that happens, the stealth vehicle fires a bomb between the British and the Chinese fleet. Don't hit them yet, but just start to cause like confusion and concern between the two fleets. Lin is immediately captured because she's on camera. She's this is a camera that she's unaware of. So because they see her on camera, Stamper comes out and grabs Lin and takes her under, takes her, captures her.
Right.
James Bond has to fight off a bunch of henchmen and needs to retrieve Lin before they can leave. And because Lin was found on camera, they also see that she was planting a bunch of bombs. So Stamper immediately deactivates all the bombs.
Hmm.
So the bombs are no longer a concern. Okay. The ship is not going to blow up in 10 minutes.
Sure.
Lin is brought to Carver. Carver thinks that Bond is dead because Stamper killed a guy that he thought was James Bond. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. I don't even know why I was bringing that up. In 9 minutes, the Chinese will fire onto the British fleet.
There we go. Okay.
Okay?
Sorry, yeah. Real war.
We're getting back into the real war. Exactly. In 9 minutes, the Chinese are going to fire onto the British fleet. And the British aren't going to be aware of what's going on. Bond contacts M and MI6 and tells them about Elliot Carver, about the stealth ship, and says to contact the British fleet and look for the stealth ship. So Carver lays out the entire plan about firing a missile into Beijing, about Cheng taking over as a Chinese leader, negotiating peace, and then Carver will get exclusive broadcasting rights in China for 100 years.
Yeah.
Bond stops Gupta from firing the missile.
How?
Gupta's about to fire the missile. He pulls a gun on him.
Oh, that's a pretty good way to stop it.
Pulls a gun on Gupta and puts a gun to his head. But he refuses to kill Gupta until Lin is freed.
Okay.
And Carver is like, we're not going to fucking free Lin. And Carver's like, hey, Gupta, did you already arm the missile? Is everything already like ready to go? And Gupta's like, yes. And in 6 minutes, it's gonna send off. And Carver's like, okay. So he just shoots Gupta.
Carver's hardcore.
Carver is hardcore. And so Bond, in all this confusion, Bond detonates a hidden grenade under Carver, causing even more confusion. Lin runs away. The stealth shields are now down, so the British and the Chinese fleets can now see where the stealth ship is, and they're both in range, so they both start firing on it. Yeah. So already Carver's plan has fallen apart.
Yeah.
Lin needs to stop the boat. Bond needs to stop the missile. So Lin goes into the engine room, starts shooting it up, starts shooting the controls. The ship slows down to a halt. So Lin has done everything that she can do, basically. Now she just has to hold there and make sure that no one starts the controls again. Bond goes into the missile room. And this part was really great. There's just these, like, so there's the big missiles, and then there's like the small, like, ground to air missiles in there as well. And it's like, feels like out of a video game, because he has control over those and he starts shooting them at whoever comes by.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm like, honestly, that's the kind of shit I would do if I was like in like GoldenEye. Like, yeah, I'd just be able to control like the big artilleries.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So both are now sadly under fire. Bond is cornered by Stamper, and Lin is down to one bullet. What are they going to do? How are they going to get out of this? Lin uses the bullet to fire at a gas tank, sending, hot smoke everywhere, burning a bunch of people who are trying to come at them. Bond is saved by the British artillery firing a giant hole in the hull of the ship. Bond is like, oh, everything's fine. Everything's going to be good. But then another, like, fucking bomb comes in. A bunch of shit lands on James Bond, and Stamper sees James Bond beneath a bunch of rubble and just shoots at him. And we were supposed to think that Bond is dead.
Yeah.
And I, for the life of me, do not know how Bond lives, but he does. He doesn't actually die.
He got shot, right?
Yeah.
But
maybe he missed?
And that could be possible. People miss.
But Stamper seems very confident in the fact that he murdered James Bond.
Stamper looks like someone who's not going to miss a shot.
Exactly.
Did Stamper have a change of heart, maybe?
No.
Hmm.
No, he didn't. He didn't miss on purpose. So then Carver's like, Stamper, now that you've murdered James Bond, you need to deal with Lin. Stamper disappears to go to handle Lin, whatever's going on with Lin. Are you looking up how?
I'll see if there's an explanation.
Yeah, that's probably important. Carver holds Bond at gunpoint because Bond is, of course, not really dead. Bond pushes a button that starts a drill, which is conveniently behind Carver, and it just drills right through him. Carver is dead.
That's crazy how that looked.
It honestly looked really cool.
Oh, okay.
It was a little silly because he was literally standing right in front of the drill, but honestly, it was pretty awesome. 1 minute until the missile is launched. Bond tries to defuse the missile with a knife, but then it's revealed that Stamper has Lin all wrapped up in chains. Lin throws a bunch of detonators at Bond, which will help to defuse the bomb. And just as Lin does this, Stamper drops her into the water to drown because she's covered in heavy chains. Stamper and Bond fight each other on top of the missile, which is about to get launched off. And Stamper says that he owes Bond an unpleasant death. He says, this is for Carver and this is for Kaufman, you know, and it's kind of a great moment because you're sort of getting like a view into Stamper's life and how like James Bond is clearly the villain of his own life, even though Stamper's not a good guy. Bond unlocks the missile, which lands on Stamper's foot, breaking it instantly and trapping him under the missile. So when the missile launches, it's going to basically like set him on fire.
Oh, cool.
20 seconds left. The both of them are behind the missile's rockets and Stamper sort of holding on to James Bond. So the idea, I think, is like we're both going to die together. The missile is going to set me on fire, but at least I'm holding you in front of the missile rockets as well. You're going to die. Mm-hmm. But Bond at the last second cuts himself out of the life vest that Stamper is holding him on to. And so Bond falls into the water below, and the missile blows the ship up, burns up Stamper. But because both Lin and Bond are in the water, they're both fine. Bond goes down, kisses Lin while she's unconscious, but isn't creepy about it because he's actually giving her air so that she can breathe underwater and frees her from the chains. Huh?
Wendy Peppercorn from Sandlot.
Yes! Exactly like that. M has Moneypenny write up an obituary for Carver, which is very funny. Says that he killed himself on his yacht.
Ah.
And Lin and Bond are saved by the British fleet. They have they're waiting on, you know, the ruins of the stealth ship, and the British fleet have arrived. And Lin is like, oh, they're looking for us. And Bond says, let's stay undercover. And then they kiss each other. And yeah.
Ooh.
And then they kiss each other, and then the credits start rolling. And Ethan, this movie is in loving memory of Albert Broccoli.
Yeah, he fucking died. This is his last movie.
This was his last movie.
R.I.P. to Broccoli Corporation.
And now, yeah, he got steamed.
I prefer him to be broiled.
Yeah, broiler broccoli. But this is R.I.P. to Mr. Albert Broccoli.
R.I.P. to Broccoli, dude. He made so many movies.
It's very sad to see that, even though I don't really care for a lot of the movies.
You know, he made a lot.
He did. He oversaw a lot of them.
He oversaw a lot of them.
He produced a lot
of
them.
So I was looking up kind of like what it says. I don't know if this makes sense, but Stamper walks out to kill Bond. However, Bond has killed a security guard, and when Stamper shoots at him, he drops the guard's corpse into the
water.
This
was earlier. This was when he was outside of the ship. So Stamper apparently is under the impression that he's murdered Bond twice now. This was earlier when he was trying to infiltrate the ship. This is why, for a while, Carver suspects that James Bond is dead.
I don't see anything on this, like, fandom entry about Carver. Good job, or fans. Stamper. Yeah, I don't see any. Carver tells him Bond again. Yeah, I don't see any.
Sorry to say, man. It wasn't that clear in the movie either.
So they probably were just like, I'm not gonna write about it.
Yeah, who cares? Nobody knows what's going on in that one.
No one knows.
Well, what do you think about the little movie, Ethan?
It was all right.
It was fine. It was all right. I loved Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, she was great.
She's probably my favorite Bond woman.
Wow. Even more so than Mayday.
Mayday's barely in it. Most of the time she's a villain.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about a Bond woman.
Like person that he actually smooches.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And in the end, like, winds up with him. I'd say she's probably top tier.
I like her. She's probably up there with Tatiana Romanoff.
In
the second movie.
Yeah. And what's her name? Stacy.
Stacy?
I don't know. What about how many bullet holes are you going to give it?
2.5.
I give it 3.
I don't think it was as... You give the same level as GoldenEye. Well, GoldenEye, you give 3.5, didn't you?
Yeah, I gave 3.5. Okay, that's fair, that's I give this one 3.
Because I give this one a half less step down.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, it's good. It just doesn't all come together in a way. It feels kind of rushed. It feels kind of unfocused.
Does feel pretty rushed, yeah.
Yeah,
that's very true.
I think it was rushed because I think he died, and they're like, we got to make
Broccoli died?
This only came out 2 years afterwards. Like,
but they used to come out every year.
They used to, but these days are different now. That's this is true. The 90s. You know, you got to do special effects.
People have unions now.
People have unions now. Back in the day, they were just blowing up stuff and people would suffer.
And it was somebody got eaten by an alligator.
Yeah, exactly. Someone almost died by an alligator.
Yeah.
They blew up stuff and like, I remember they would like, I don't remember which movie it was, but they blew up a bomb and it like shattered a bunch of windows nearby.
Yes. That's right. Like, yeah. When they blew up the ship, I think in the middle of the ocean. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It shattered a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it takes longer to make a movie, but they rushed this one out and I think that's why it got kind of expensive, but it was profitable.
I bet it was. I still think this was a blast.
Yeah, a blast. It was second behind Titanic when it came out.
Holy fuck!
Yeah. It didn't make as much money as GoldenEye, but it did pretty well.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's fair. That's crazy that it was second behind Titanic.
Well, Titanic was fucking... Remember how long that movie was in the box office?
The entire year, like, I think. Yeah,
like, on the top list. Like, that's crazy.
Jesus. And both this and Titanic take place on ships in the end.
You're kind of right.
They both go down.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, it was a fun little movie. I had a good time watching it. I was never bored. Also, you know what? Under 2 hours.
That was so surprising.
Turning that on and being so good, dude. Ooh, this is under 2 hours? It's been a long time since we've seen that.
They overstay their welcome.
They definitely do.
Guys, are we overstaying our welcome? Email us at immediatelytherapodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Blue Sky and also on Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous 007 episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and a review. We will read on the show, no matter what it says, even if you outstay your welcome. And it's a very long review. We'll read it. I don't mind. It'll be fun.
It was a good time.
Are we watching the next one? No.
No.
I say no.
Really?
I'm just taking a stance here. I feel like one of us has to start saying no. Because I hear that Die Another Day is a bad one.
It is, but like, I am so curious what you think of the Daniel Craig movies now.
Oh, yeah? We're going to get all the way to get Daniel Craig?
There's only two more movies after this.
I know.
Then right we get there.
To Daniel Craig. Yeah, it's true.
Like, I'm so curious what you think of Casino Royale, because I think Casino Royale...
is your favorite.
I remember liking it a lot. I watched it multiple times. I own it on Blu-ray. I don't remember it very well. Because I bought it on Blu-ray when Blu-ray was new.
I own it on Blu-ray. I've seen it multiple times. I don't remember it.
Well, my view has changed.
That's true.
I've seen so many more Bond movies.
That's true. You've learned a lot.
I'm so
it's like you're seeing them with new eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am so curious about it, and I kind of want to get to there. And like, if we have to grind our way through a couple bad movies, like...
Literally two.
It's just two.
Yeah.
We fucking... How many? Is this like number 18?
I hate that we've seen this many James Bond movies, dude.
18! This is the 18th movie, Mike.
Oh my god.
We only need to watch two more.
Yeah, I guess we can do it.
Yeah?
I guess we can do it.
I can urge you to do it. Yes. Yes!
All right, let's do it.
Gotcha. You'd have to fucking pull you by the ear like I usually do to watch all those Leprechaun movies.
Yeah.
I convinced you.
You did.
You've been Bond-pilled, baby.
You did not convince me to watch the Leprechaun movies. You trapped me to watch the Leprechaun movies. No, get out of here. Good night, everybody.
365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.